Okay, so I know that we only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to try to go through my slides pretty quickly. But I'm going to spend some time talking to you about a partnership that I have with the Galena Park community, where we really spend a lot of time trying to work with the community to validate their perceived environmental health concerns. And then I also started to kind of learn about how to really evaluate community capacity. I have no relationships to disclose. So let's talk about Galena Park. So Galena Park, Texas, is really a city within the city of Houston. It is a community of about 10,500 residents, which are predominantly Hispanic Latino. About 11% are white, and then about 6% are African American retirees. About 25% of the individuals live below poverty level. And then this community is located along the Houston Ship Channel. So it's surrounded by petrochemical industry. And in the rear of the community exists a landfill, or what we call a dredge site. And basically what happens with the dredge site is they go through and they drag the bottom of the Houston Ship Channel, and they take that material and pump it into this dredge site behind the Galena Park community. So it's like a thick mud, basically, that obviously consists of lots of horrible environmental contaminants. And then, like someone else mentioned earlier, this community is also landlocked. So there are railroad entries. There are only three entries into the community, and each of the three communities is actually locked by a railroad. This is actually a picture taken as I drive into Galena Park, and so you can see the petrochemical industry and some of the stacks, as the residents call them, and potential sources of emission. And so this is an aerial view of the Galena Park community. And what I want you to take home from this figure is basically, so the blue arrows and lines basically represent the rail lines that I talked about. And also the potential sources of contaminants are the petroleum refineries. And then in the yellow outlines, you see the area that we call Galena Park. Galena Park is also a very residentially segregated community. And so in working with this community, you have to understand that there's an African-American community that lives in what we call Galena Manor. And then Hispanics and whites live in the other parts of Galena Park. And so when you work in this, in working with Galena Park, I kind of had to understand that in designing a project, I had to design a project that really looked at effects in Galena Manor and also effects in Galena Park, even though they probably have exactly the same exposures. So in 2008, we developed a community-university partnership that consisted of the residents of Galena Park and also Harris County Public Health Environmental Services and then MD Anderson researchers. The project was called the Environmental Community Assessment Project, and we spent 18 months really looking, really doing a qualitative study that was designed to identify and prioritize their environmental health concerns. So what we did was we established what we call the ECAP assessment team. We met bimonthly and basically went over about 22 different environmental health concerns that they identified as things that they wanted to learn about. And then we did focus groups to kind of define and diminish the 22 down to about 10. And after conducting focus groups, we held a large community environmental health education forum where we put up the large sticky notes. And each of those sticky notes has an environmental health concern and kind of an overview of that concern. And then we allowed the residents to actually write in strategies that they thought would be useful for addressing those environmental health concerns. We also allowed them to prioritize those concerns by using small sticky notes. And they would actually go in and put numbers on each of those larger concerns noted on the walls. And so that was how we were able to finally prioritize down to three environmental concerns. And these are actually pictures. So the first picture is the assessment team meeting one day to go over an environmental health concern. Okay. And then the bottom picture is actually a couple of residents who are now prioritizing and writing in their strategies. And so from these qualitative efforts, we identified three priority community concerns. They include air quality, access to health care, and the built environment. And as you can see, they didn't necessarily relate to actual environmental exposures. But when you do a project in a community, you have to take the concerns, or you have to use the concerns that are voiced by the community. I'm actually one of those bench scientists as well. And so I'm trained as a molecular toxicologist, and I loved working with cells. And you treat them, and they do what you say do, and, you know, and it's 4 hours, and everything's so controlled. So I took the opportunity to become a Kellogg Health Scholar so that I could learn how to work in communities and use my toxicology training for that. So this has been a very steep learning curve for me, because I had to learn how to work with communities, understand that all of these great timelines that I created never worked, and all of the things that I had planned never were really consistent with what the community wanted to do. So it was it's been a wonderful journey, but quite a steep learning curve. So that's why I asked John the question of, how do people as scientists find people like John who can then teach other community members about things? So we also developed what we called a community action plan, and it basically consists of the 3 priority concerns. It gives an overview of the concerns. It lists Galena Park residents who are interested in addressing those concerns. It has resources. It has strategies listed for addressing those concerns. And it also has contact information for people if they're interested in joining in some of the initiatives. So one of the great outcomes of this project was the development of the Environmental Community Advocates of Galena Park. And so they are a nonprofit in this area whose mission is really to provide education and training related to environmental quality of life. And they are actually about 5 or 6 residents that spend their time really focusing on addressing concerns in Galena Park. And this is their picture. So then for air quality, in terms of air quality, one of their major concerns was benzene. Benzene is a known carcinogen. It is also a byproduct of some of the petrochemical industries in the area. The Houston Ship Channel is full of petrochemical industry. And then their other interest was particulate matter. So there's a lot of diesel truck activity going in and out of the Houston Ship Channel, which results in a lot of dust. And so these are actual pictures taken in Galena Park. You see one of the main roads into Galena Park and all of the dust that's there, the railroads. And then I recently did a plant visit. I actually got to go into the plant and drive around, and they took a bunch of residents, and I attended. And this was a picture that I took inside of the plant. And so this is just kind of an indication of the high levels of benzene in Galena Park. And so on your right, you see Houston concentration. So air, like, there are different air quality monitors in Houston. And so you see some of the Houston levels, and then the middle are Texas cities. And then on the left side are U.S. cities, with Los Angeles, California having the highest in the U.S., but Galena Park having the highest in terms of U.S. And Houston and Texas. So they really have a valid concern in terms of their perception of being exposed to high concentrations of benzene. So one of the things that we did was to really map benzene concentrations using NADA data. And the take-home message is the darker the color, so the darker the pink, the higher the benzene concentrations. And once again, you see that the Galena Park area has really high benzene concentrations. And then the next thing we did was to really look at estimated lifetime cancer risk. So they are the concern that there are a lot of cancer deaths in this community. So we mapped cancer risk and found that the changes in color also indicate, so the darker the color, the increased risk of cancer. And you see the Galena Park area, once again, has a really high increased risk of developing cancer associated with that benzene exposure. This is all cancer. Mm-hmm. And so then here I just wanted to kind of go through and point out some of the community capacity highlights. And so in terms of trying to address the goal of improving air quality, we were able to encourage the local leadership to kind of go through and repave one of the main roads. So that first road we saw, where we saw the dust, this is that road today with them repaving it. So, I mean, it's a temporary fix, but it reduces some of the particulate matter. So simple, you know, solutions to try and address some of the concerns. And this is a picture taken at a meeting that we have monthly. It's called a community industry partnership. So we've been able to get the residents to meet with representatives from the local industry. They sponsor food, so you're having food. They bring food. And they come in once a month and teach us about their companies, basically what they produce, the types of emissions that they may have, the adverse health effects associated with that company. And so it's given residents an opportunity to really learn about some of these local plants near their homes. So the second concern was access to care. And basically, there's no access to care in Galena Park. There are no primary health care facilities. There are no pharmacies. There's one dentist, and then there's a school-based clinic that provides care for children and also on a sliding scale. So a major goal is to really try to find access to care for residents of the Galena Park community. So one of the first things we did, again, was to map hospital accessibility. And the darker the color, the further it is to a hospital, basically. And so you see that Galena Park has a darker color, and we found that it's actually 10 miles to the nearest hospital. And this proves very detrimental in the Galena Park community because there's only one bus in the morning at 8 a.m., one bus that returns at 5 p.m. So if you don't catch the 8 a.m. bus out, you're stuck in Galena Park for the entire day. So 10 miles is a long way when you have to try and find transportation. So then the other thing we thought would be important was to really kind of document some of the health outcomes. And so the Galena Park, the ECAP group was able to partner with Air Alliance, which is a larger environmental health group in the city of Houston, and they received funding to recently do a health assessment in the community. 860 households actually participated, and basically they found that 16% of the residents reported that they have asthma, 8% report having cancer, 31% have reported that they've been diagnosed with diabetes, and 41% have hypertension. 24% of them report that their children have asthma. But even with these numbers, 62% of them say that they have good health. I thought that was interesting. This is a picture of one of the ECAP members and also students from the Galena Park community who actually participated in administering the survey. So community capacity in itself. They now can administer surveys and have a real insight in terms of what's happening in their community. The built environment is the last one. So the residents felt like Galena Park was not as livable and walkable as they would like it to be. So they were concerned about healthy food options. There are not a lot of sidewalks, and they do a lot of walking given that there's no public transportation. And then they have lots of parks. They just are not desirable. And then we talked about the public transportation options. So this is actually a picture of the supermarket there in Galena Park. And from that health assessment, 9% of the survey respondents said that they shop there. So nobody's shopping there. They just don't use the store. So then we mapped supermarket accessibility. And Galena Park is not a food desert because it has a supermarket right there in the neighborhood. So access is not an issue. Acceptability is an issue. And so I think when we talk about food deserts, we now have to not just look at access. We also have to look at what's acceptable as well. So these are just some pictures of things that resulted. So we developed a food co-op. We worked with a local grocer supply in the area that, as long as we spent $250, would actually deliver the healthy food to the neighborhood. So we took orders, and these are some. This actually shows you like some of the orders that we had. So you get a crate of strawberries, you get a crate of bananas, and things like that. You also get milk, and you can get eggs. And then this is just a picture of kind of the enhancements of the parks because the residents were concerned about that. And so in summary, I became very interested in finding a way to demonstrate and prove that communities were actually increasing community capacity. And so I found this kind of framework that talks about community capacity dimensions. And these are just the 10 dimensions that are listed for this framework. And then I gave you some specific examples of how the Galena Park community was able to actually demonstrate increased community capacity using these 10 dimensions. And so like the first one shows how the Interact students did the survey. And then a really great accomplishment was recently the mayor of Galena Park has been the mayor of Galena Park for over 20 years. one of the ECAP members decided to run for mayor. He was not successful, but he ran for mayor. I mean, that in itself was an accomplishment, and he only lost by like 64 votes, so it was, you know, it was really bad, but we were so excited that he decided to run for mayor. Now, some of the others, so they've been able to organize and do some environmental health and environmental justice workshops and things like that. So I think I'm out of time, so we have to take questions. So during the SIP meetings, a lot of those, so the residents are allowed to ask questions, and they have asked a lot of those questions. And I have to say, the plants have been very forthcoming in kind of demonstrating how they're making those changes, but they're not necessarily happening yet. You know, Texas is kind of slow with moving towards, trying to be nice, with moving towards enforcement and, you know. So they do, I find that they do give us information about things that are for, that are going to be happening. They're just not necessarily happening yet.
Just wondering if there's any opportunity of bringing in people like from an engineering school to do assessments and look at alternative practices that might help
them. I think that would be a great option. We've never thought of that, but that would be awesome.
Yeah. We had a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how they could just recycle and
yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I will say, I think it would be a great group. I will say that we have quite a few competitors in terms of our petrochemical industries, and so sometimes even for the SIP meetings, depending on what they're going to present, the competitors are not allowed to attend. So we would have to kind of deal with some of those issues, but I think that's a great idea.
Problem than I thought it would be. So one of the goals of our program is to all we have to do is fix this thing, and the increasing incidence of breast cancer will go away.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to disappoint people, and that's something that I am concerned with, because I can't tell them that you will do this one thing, if you will just eat these vegetables, if you will just take this herb, if you will just do this, we can fix this problem, because it's not going to be like that. And so it's a process. People like John, need a lot of help with making sure that people not only get the data back, but understand what it means, and more importantly, understand what it doesn't. Because running off of doing a certain, prevention, which we all want, right? Everybody wants to prevent. That's the better part of valor. But it's a separate time. Long answer to your question.
On the other hand, the fragility of the community organizations is becoming more apparent all the time because of the funding situation. And, we might be about to have some kind of weird outcome to the national election. And if that happens, I think probably it'd be more austerity, less availability of money. A couple of the organizations we've worked with before don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. They've gone dark. They may come back up again, but they're not working, and the data that we have generated together, I'm not sure exactly how that's being archived at this point on their, from their point of view. We've been lucky that we've had NIEHS support with a hiatus of a couple of years. After we got hit with Hurricane Ike, we couldn't do another application for 2 years because we just didn't have the resources to do it. And so we didn't have that either. And we had the struggle to keep just intact what we had, because as you point out, universities, it's not so much fickle as they're at the mercy of the same current of funding and the trendiness of different issues as everybody else. And most people don't ever talk about that. That's a really good point. And I can't say that we have an answer for it, but we are aware of it.
We've actually been trying to get that going. It's not a trivial thing to do. People don't like to talk about cancer. There have been summaries of just the ongoing cancer rates, but when we try to ask questions about cancer in surveys, for example, so we could link it back to exposure, people are really uncomfortable talking about cancer. So we know what the numbers are, but in terms of being able to link it back to exposure, it's been difficult. We are starting something just off the reservation in a mixed community, and I'm working now to start developing that cohort, and that cohort's going to be specifically focused on cancer. So people in general talk a lot about they're worried about cancer, but when you ask them personally to talk about it, it's not that easy. It's a good question, though. It's definitely.